What's up, y'all? Welcome or welcome back to the Me and He podcast with your host, Araya Sunshine. So I just want to start this off saying that I am going to be talking about rappers, the Black community, and God, Black culture, how it pertains to Christianity today and our culture today, all of the things. And this is season 2, episode 7, by the way, because I did skate past that. But I want to start off with a conviction moment. As I was looking at all of this, I realized that I am going to be talking about rap influence in the Black community and how it has had a really negative prevalence on us. I'm going to talk about a little bit of the positive, but overwhelmingly for the most of my life, I have seen the negative influence on us currently today. But I am making this clear, just because this was very prevalent, that doesn't mean that everybody that was Black during this time participated in the things that I'm going to talk about. And it doesn't mean that because you listen to rap songs that I even list in this, that you are a terrible person. But I will say that while I was looking at this, I realized that all of these rappers and things like that, I either grew up listening to or I still listen to now, especially in my gym playlist. And I listen to it because it's catchy. I love the beat, or they either sampled old gospel songs, and it just seems appealing to me. And so my charge to you all, as I always tell y'all, is to get closer to God and make sure that you're spending time with God and all of these things. And that's all fine and dandy. But if I'm not keeping myself accountable as well as I'm talking to you guys and opening up to you guys, even if it's just two people watching, because I don't get that many views, all of that goes out the window if I'm not following the Bible for myself. So as I was reading this and I ended up getting convicted, I had to realize that I need to stop listening to the vulgar, very promiscuous, very violent music that I'm listening to in the gym, because it's only paying rappers more that are promoting a terrible negative view of Black people. And it would not be right if I make this video talking about the negative aspect that rap culture, especially today, has had on our people, but then I continue to listen to it and put money in their pockets. So I pray that y'all would keep me accountable and send me text messages and things like that. Seriously, I will respond and I will listen. And after this, I will give you my word right now. I'm going to go and tell my homegirls that I need them to also keep me accountable as well, because me listening to that vulgar music in the name of, oh, I'm just at the gym, so what? That's not going to stop Satan from trying to get in my ear. And so my question for today is, who was slash is your favorite rapper from the 90s and 2000s? I would definitely say, even if you fall into that category, I would definitely say that I had a lot. I listened to a lot. So really any rapper that you name from that time, I'll be like, oh yeah, I know them. Yeah, I listen to them. So I'm curious to hear of who y'all's are, or even if it's not a 90s and 2000s rapper, who's your favorite rapper from today? I'm just curious to know. And honestly, it says a lot about a person, about who their favorite artist is and things like that, because your artist and music artist, even like regular artists like painting, they're always going to promote something. We as humans always promote something. It's just, who are we promoting it for? Are we promoting it for ourselves and selfish gain? Are we promoting it for others and the well-being of them? Or are we promoting it for Christ? Or are we promoting it for Satan? We're always promoting something for something, because as humans, we're made to worship. But unfortunately, we don't always worship our Savior. And that's how we get into sticky situations. So I'm going to start this off by reading Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, because I feel like this really just shows everything that I'm going to be talking about today. And it reads, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Okay, so starting off with rappers in the Black community. So during the hip-hop cultural movement, rap music was birthed in Bronx, New York, in the early 1970s, and then it became part of popular music later that decade. Rapping developed from the role of master ceremonies, which would be called your MCs today. and they ended up promoting themselves at different parties within different scenes. This can include like parks and apartment settings, someone's basement, if it's at a house party, like literally all of these things were happening and they were being promoted during this time. And you can also watch the movie House Party as well if you just want to learn more on like the house party scene, but I definitely don't recommend you watching it for kids, if I'm just being honest with you. And so whenever they would become MCs or they would start rapping, they would do it in between sets of already established rappers so that they could evolve into having longer performances because they built it more of a crowd base and they would end up gaining more popularity. That's just like back then when Cardi B first came out and she had wrote like Cheap A Double Snakes Weave, like one of her first songs, people weren't really rocking with her then. And I could see why people don't really rock with her now. I can understand that. But I'm not saying this for you to promote Cardi B. I'm saying this to say she didn't start her rap career, automatically on different stages and going to the Grammys and things like that. It took time. So that's what I mean. Like they had to really, they were chosen based on not just popularity, like how rappers are today, but they were chosen based on if they had true, pure talent or not. And back then they had talent. And so you had different MCs like Grandmaster Flash, Curtis Blow, Africa Bambaataa. Sorry, I butchered that. Africa Bambaataa, The Sugar Hill Gang, Run DMC, De La Soul, Eric B. and Rakim, Big Daddy Kane, Gangstar, and the Beastie Boys. The focus was supposed to primarily be on the Black Empowerment Movement and the Black Power Movement alongside the reality of young Black and women, showcasing that through police brutality with Rodney King. It was also supposed to be focused on just bringing light to the drug influence upon both the buyers in the Black community who were buying the drugs and being strung out, but also the sellers who were selling this stuff to the Black community. And people have different conspiracies on like who was selling it first and all that, but a really good movie to look at to showcase this is New Jack City. I would give the same warning that I did as well though for the House Party movies, not for kids. The Black Power Movement was also supposed to showcase the alarming rates at which Black men and women were being thrown into jails. Now, I'm not going to lie and sit here and say that some of them didn't deserve to be in jail, but there was also an alarming and unfortunate rate of young kids that were in jail that could have got off on misdemeanors and things like that. But at the end of the day, jail was not intended to be a rehabilitation center. It was meant to be a place for you to really get your act together. And unfortunately, a lot of people have abused the system and have not done that. It was also supposed to bring awareness to the increasing rate of babies that were being made, but the lack of Black fathers that were in the picture, unfortunately. And then there was also supposed to be a showcasing of just the outcry of Black people as they were losing different relatives. They were losing cousins to gun violence and to heinous things like this. Just very quickly, I want to talk about a 15-year-old girl whose name was Latasha Harlins. And unfortunately, she died when she was shot in the back of her head by a convenience store owner because he thought that she was stealing orange juice from him, when really she just put the orange juice on the side of her pocket in the store as she was walking up to give him the cash in her hand. Hey y'all, it's editing me several days later. I realized that I made a huge mistake. I said that her killer was a man, like I used he pronouns. No, her name was Soon Ja Do. That was a woman, and I apologize for that because it literally takes one quick simple search to see that. So I just want to say that really quickly. I'm not defending this man. I never will. But in his mind, he was already so on edge from all of the riots and all of the gun violence and all of these things. This man already had prejudice in his head toward a 15-year-old girl who had her backpack on and just wanted to buy some orange juice. She died with the cash in her hand. And so this is just one of many instances as to why so many people were so upset and so enraged. And so they started to promote more things that they felt like stemmed with their culture, which was more violence in the raps, which is more promiscuity, which was more the promoting of having transient sexual relations, which is what promiscuous means. But in the event, it ended up having more black babies without fathers. It ended up promoting gun violence and stealing and scamming and robbing and all the things. And I know that this probably was not the intentional cause of rap, but it ended up showing that because black men and women really wanted to just have a sense of identity within their culture. And to them, rap showed that, and it very much well did. But once it started to bring out the negative connotations that I listed, it started to make black people look very, very bad, and people started to see them in a negative light. And, you know, as I said at the beginning, this doesn't mean that everybody during that time was doing it, but you bet your bottom dollar there was enough people doing it to where I have to talk about it today. I'm also going to read this from Tupac's song called Changes. He says, the penitentiary's packed and it's filled with blacks, but some things will never change. Try to show another way, but you staying in the dope game. Now tell me, what's a mother to do? Being real don't appeal to the brother in you. And then this is Tupac talking to the drug dealer. They're basically going to have a conversation while he's rapping. And he's like, you got to operate the easy way, like in a question. And the drug dealer's like, but I made a G today. Like, I made $1,000 today. And Tupac's like, but yeah, but you made it in a sleazy way, so why does it matter? And Tupac says, you're selling crack to the kids. And the drug dealer's like, well, I got to get paid. And Tupac says, well, hey, that's just the way it is. Like, meaning that was their reality at the time. Then you start to have, like, from black empowerment and all those things, like I said, out of a desire to be so close to black culture and black identity, there started to be an abrupt shift to things, like I said, a lot of drugs, a lot of pimping and prostituting was very heavy throughout music and things like that. Sleazy, unsafe sex was starting to be promoted. And of course, as a Christian, we know in the Bible that it talks about sex between a man and a woman in the confines of marriage, but all of that was out the window. Condoms were out the window. Like, this was, you get sex by all means. This was, you get money by all means. Giving the black culture so many negative stereotypes. There was so much more drug influence and violence and more gangs. And, excuse me, out of a lot of anger and rage, it didn't matter. All cops were bad during this time. In a lot of black people's mind, because of how much police brutality there was. And there was a lot of racism from whites to blacks, of course, but also from blacks to whites, unfortunately, because they wanted to show white people, like, y'all have oppressed us for so long and kept our people as slaves, and now you're killing our little boys and girls or locking them up in jail forever. Whether or not they did it is not what I'm here to argue about. If they did do a certain crime and they ended up in jail or prison, sometimes you really do have to hit yourself on the head a couple of times before you learn a lesson. But to those that were innocent, that's who I'm talking about right now. Out of so much anger and things like that, there started to just be an uprise in violence. There started to be an uprise in a lot of passion and emotion that was pouring out from black people. But unfortunately, instead of them running to Christ, which probably a lot of them weren't even educated on, they started to run to other things as their idols and as their gods, which I talked about earlier. This is the rise of Biggie, Tupac, Nas, Ice Cube, Redman, Method Man, Snoop Dogg, Jay-Z, Q-Tip, KRS-One, LL Cool J, and so many others. And not all of those men were rapping about things that were bad, but they also weren't all rapping about things that were good that you can sing to your grandmother as well. Because all of these negative things were starting to be embedded in rap. Because instead of separating the three, being like, I'm a child of God, but, you know, I listen to rap at times, that's good for my soul and for my well-being. What was the third one gonna be? And I'm also a black person. They started to throw Christianity out of the equation because they thought that it was the white man's religion, which I'll talk about on later and make a whole detailed video on that part as well. But they started to identify by just being black, point blank period, and all the things that they listened to and the music. It was as if the black culture and hip hop were stuck together. There was no turning away from it. And if you were a black person that didn't listen to it, you were called a coon, you were called very stereotypical names that were very degrading and very harsh. If you didn't fit into the Black culture, if you didn't promote drugs and sex and violence and things like that, you could have been subject to bullying, and people probably felt that you were just downright weird because they're like, why do you not identify with your Blackness or your culture? That was the thing of that. So you have different songs like We're All in the Same Gang. You have different songs like Dear Mama by Tupac, which are really good songs and changes because there's a message and there's value behind them. But then unfortunately, you have a switch to other songs, which this was also made by Tupac, such as Hit 'Em Up and F the Police and A Kick Doe. You have different songs like that, which I'll put all of them in. And then you also have to understand that the issue is not whether or not the songs are catchy or not, or they have good rhythm. That's not what I'm here to illustrate and to point out to you all. It's the fact that because of how appealing they are to the world, Black people lost their identity as children of God because they ended up engulfing themselves so heavily in what people call the Black culture. But the Black culture should not be kids outside of wedlock. It should not be that you go to more baby showers than you go to weddings. And I'm speaking of this from existence. The Black culture should not be that we are talking about colorism left and right. And is a light skin better than a dark skin? Or do you think a dark skin is better than a brown skin? That's buffoonery. The Black culture should not encompass of how high can you get, how many blunts or backwoods can you make. The Black culture should not consist of little girls are automatically seen as promiscuous and fast because they have bigger bodies or thicker legs or bigger breasts at a younger age. The Black culture should not consist of violence at any given moment. The Black culture should consist of the different foods that we have, the different highlights from people who fought against slavery ever so boldly, and even the whites that helped with that, a lot of abolitionists and things like that. And it should also be our identity as children of God. That should be the focus. And so this is where you also start to see another rise in, unfortunately, more youth, not just adults in the rap industry, but more youth start using drugs. You start seeing young girls be called fast, which I talked about, a lot of teen pregnancies and a lot of vulgarity, a lot of graphic things. There was a desire to be accepted by Black people from other Black people, just in a desire of unity. Because you got to remember, a lot of these Black people that were the rappers and that were the children of rappers and things like that, they were directly connected to children of slaves. Like, I don't think y'all understand the impact of that. Us today, if you're in my category, like college age, we are not the direct descendants of slaves, meaning like your parents were not slaves, your grandparents were not slaves. Maybe your great grandparent was a slave, but it's not likely. It's probably your great 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 grandparent who was in slavery, unfortunately. But you had the people in the 1900s, like the 1970s, 80s, and 90s, in the wake of rap culture, who were literally the direct descendants of slavery. And so, because they saw that, they didn't want to be like their grandmother, who still had whip marks on her back. They didn't want to be as peaceable and just kind of easygoing, in a sense, as the rest of their ancestors. And I say that in a sense not to degrade them and like, oh, they should have fought back. I mean that they didn't fight back because they wanted to keep their safety. They wanted to make sure that their kids were safe and that they were safe. And we see that in countless slave rendition movies. But I'm saying their generation of like the early 1900s was more likely to be peaceable, because they didn't want to immediately resort to violence like white people did. But then you see a huge shift later in the 1970s and 80s and 90s where they're like, no, forget that. Our grandparents fought with peace and things like that, and so did MLK, but we're going to use violence because of what they did to us. It's kind of like a he said, she said argument, like who can do it better? And it's so unfortunate. And I don't say that to disrespect anybody's family. I'm the descendant of slaves, but I don't say that to take anything lightly of house slaves and house wives of that young Black woman were of white men. I don't want to put that lightly in any regard. I'm just saying that there was this huge shift from fighting through like kind of a peace movement like MLK did to the BPP in the 1970s, and then on up to the police in the 1990s. And of course, there was already sin without the rise of rap, but it did directly contribute to more of it and the destruction of the Black family, which is why I'm talking about it. Then when you go on to the 2000s, you have more of an influence of pop and dance, but there still is an influence from the 70s and 80s and 90s rap. So 2000s rap is not just the savior of everything. It still had its bad moments, and it's not just the best thing ever, but it had less of a Black kind of influence on it because it was more pop centered, if that makes sense. There was less vulgarity and nudity and drugs and violence, but it was still very much there, and I want to make that very clear. You had songs like Crank That by Soulja Boy, you had Hey Ya, you had Dilemma, and then you have an abrupt switch to songs like Nan, you have Pimp, you have Tip Drill, which Tip Drill ended up getting uploaded on pornographic sites, by the way, which is how you know the video was graphic. And then you also see that around the late 90s, but also the early 2000s, you start to have people who identify as Neo Soul. And these are people who do a complete 360.
I wanted to chime and explain just a little bit more on Neo Soul if you didn't want to read everything that was on the screen or if you're listening in podcast form. It essentially is still rhythm and blues, which is R&B, but it's like a different sect, like how people assume that Catholicism is Christianity. Like they say, it's just a different sect of Christianity, which it's not, but it's similar to that. With Neo Soul, it was coined by a man, and I put his name on the screen because I'm going to be real with you. I don't even think I know how to pronounce it. But it was the opposite in hip-hop, that in that it wasn't male-driven, it was female-driven, like your Erykah Badus, your Jill Scotts, and things like that. And I did mention D'Angelo, but those were like the leading forces in that category. But also the biggest part on it, in which why I was like, you need to be careful and stay away from it, is a new age emphasis on being conscious. There's nothing wrong with being conscious. Hopefully you are conscious right now. You're not in a vegetative state mentally. But whenever people are usually using that, they're not meaning it in a medical sense or literal definition. They mean that in a sense of promoting new age ideas and the belief that being conscious means that you have to keep going up some type of man-made spiritual hierarchy, in the sense that you need to be worshipped or you need to access your higher self, because what the present you right now is not good enough. Like, you haven't unlocked the greatest you that there is. And so that's a preaching that is heretical, and it's definitely anti-Christ, because Christ doesn't preach that we have to go up a spiritual hierarchy, in the sense that yes, he does tell us that we need to continue to learn things about the Bible, but he doesn't say that we need to keep unlocking new things and hearing new revelations and things like that, because Christ was and is to come. He surpasses all time. He doesn't need us to keep going through hoops and hurdles mentally for us to get to certain places. So, yeah.
From violence, from drugs, from orgies, etc. But unfortunately, they fall more on the witchcraft side of things, whether it be abrupt and overt or more kind of like hidden behind the scenes. And not all of these people who I'm about to name have done or promoted witchcraft, but they are considered neo soul. But there's Music Soul Child, Jill Scott, Erykah Badu, Lauryn Hill, D'Angelo. Those are the type of people that were in the neo soul category. And speaking of D'Angelo, he definitely had a witchcraft cover that I really didn't realize, because as a child, I really wasn't born during his era of music until a little later in his career, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, it just had a huge influence on Black culture. And so some may argue, well, witchcraft is better than drugs and sex and then being killed and locked up in jails. But I would say that neither are good in the kingdom of God. And so my point is that there was more of a shift away from Christ on both sides of rap. And there was more of a lean towards false gods and towards the evidence of the flesh, which I talked about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. At times, Black people felt as though they lost their Blackness, so they ended up reverting to many religions that their ancestors ended up submitting to because of their hatred towards whites for what they did to their family. Many Blacks reverted from Christianity because to them it was like a whip and a clutch in a white man's hand, and it was considered the white man's religion. It was considered something that Massa did, which is very true in the 1800s. That was the case, but it's not the white man's religion. Unfortunately, this caused many people to stray from God out of their lack of education of the Bible. Of course, American slavery was terrible. It's disgusting. It's vile. I think that all people can agree with that on a base level. I can't say all people, but I would pray that most people can relate to that on a base level. It was very terrible. It was very treacherous. It's sickening to see the effects of what people did in like the early 1900s of white men in Florida taking Black babies and dumping them off to alligators. But I say all this to say, those white people during that time that enslaved Blacks, y'all, they were dumb as all can be, because they didn't even realize that while they're promoting white, we are worshiping a Jewish savior who would be considered a minority in today's term. So that was just plain stupid. On top of that, they're sitting up here taking little Black babies and feeding them to alligators and trying to decrease us, not realizing that that's exactly what Pharaoh did in the book of Exodus. And God ended up calling Moses to give a mass exodus of his people. So it was already a foretelling, a prophecy that God was going to deal with those people. And now they are dead, most likely burning in hell for what they did to Black people. And so I'm saying this to say, I understand that it's bad, but do not fight fire with fire. It's disgusting. It's sick that is a part of our history. But there are also parts of history from other cultures, even with white people, Asian, Hispanic, Portuguese, whatever the background, Egyptian, that have ugly parts of their history as well. So instead of continuing to promote that hatred and that anger that riles up in us every single time we see it, I say instead to come to Christ and promote unity within Christianity, and to really promote the peace that our ancestors held, the endurance that they held, instead of us being wrought up by anger and being so led by our emotions with everything. Also, as a modern result from everything, Black women, no matter the age, as I talked about, were considered promiscuous, loud, ghetto, and breeding grounds. And then you had Black men who were seen as aggressive, scary, dangerous, drug-filled, deadbeats, etc. This is not all due to rap and hip-hop in and of itself, but it did have a huge impact then, and you can still see it now within Black communities. Today, rappers continue to rap about lives that are enticing to young Black men and women. And unfortunately, a lot of young Black men and women take the bait every single time of the big chains, of the many women that they can get, the social media and the fame that they can get as a result of really like desecrating on the Black community. Then you had rappers starting to die left and right from AIDS and HIV related causes or gun violence or addictions. And you still see that unfortunately today. You have Eazy-E, Tupac, Biggie, Takeoff, X, Nipsey Hussle, Pop Smoke, Young Dolph, Juice WRLD, Lil Peep, Mac Miller, Old Dirty Bastard, Pimp C. And unfortunately, if our Black culture and rap culture continues to go on the same path that they were, it is not going to look good. And there are going to be, unfortunately, more young men and women that die in the name of rap and fame. Then you have an overt shift to Christian rappers. So they focus on rap and hip-hop, which is essentially, a Black thing with hip hop and rap, but it's primarily for Christians. And so they have catchy beats, but they're supposed to edify Christ. You have your Caleb Gordons, your KBs, DKG Kai, Lecrae, Alex Jean, Hovey, Childlike CeCe, Miami, Wande, etc. But there's a lot of controversy with Christian rap, though, because whether or not they are using and remixing secular beats, which you can argue whether or not that's permissible, a lot of times, unfortunately, they do still talk and promote worldly things. I see a lot of times with guy Christian rappers, they're always promoting their chains and things like that, which isn't inherently bad because they're proud of what they worked for. But to always show it off and showcase it, it could show that you do have an idol attached to that. And then another con is that by them doing this, it shows an appeal to the world at times, and it doesn't show that they are automatically all in submitted to Christ. So lastly, I would just say some tips and tricks for like really watching out for this stuff is be aware of conviction. With us having the Holy Spirit inside of us, God is going to convict us even when it doesn't feel good. Be privy to that. Be discerning and watchful of what you and those around you listen to, because Satan is always looking to seep in and to destroy communities left and right. You can read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Fill your playlist with music that will not provoke you to sin. Practice self-control by listening to other things and cleaning out various things out of your playlist. Sing psalms and sing hymns like Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Read Isaiah chapter 14, verse 11, that states that music can be used for getting people to sin, but remember that this verse in particular should not be used to preach that Satan has a hold over all music, because that's not biblical. Some songs are used certainly specifically for married couples. Other songs are songs that we grew up on, like Party in the USA, Here, High High Hopes, Love, To Be Young, Gifted, and Black, I Love Your Smile, At Last, etc. But what I will say is that they are not to be played in church. So please get that clear. If you do choose to listen to certain secular music, that is all fine and dandy if it's not promoting evidence of the flesh. But do not bring that into the church, because that is holy ground. Like God and Moses talk about in Exodus chapter 3 with the burning bush. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, because it tells us to not mix lightness with darkness. Be weary of remixing secular songs for the sake of trying to add Christ in there, because he does not mix with darkness at all. Instead, an option could be to just listen to songs that are 1,000% about God, instead of trying to mix him into other songs that already promote really secular things. Also, watch how you dance when you listen to secular music. If you're gyrating, twerking, or being seductive, chill out. And I have to remind myself of that too. And so a lot of recommendations that I have are John P. Key, Fred Hammond, the Alabama, Florida, Mississippi, Georgia, DFW, Mass Choirs, Kurt Carr, Thomas Whitfield, Marvin Sapp, LaShawn Pace, Hezekiah Walker, Andre Crouch, Shekinah Glory, Youth for Christ, William Becton, Donnie McClurkin, Rodney Bryant, Kirk Franklin, the Barnes Family, Daryl Coley, Donald Lawrence, Richard Smallwood, Timothy Frigoria, Vicky Winings, Smokey Norful. And the list goes on. I would say still check all of them, though, because just because they're on this list doesn't mean that they promote Christ. Thank you so much for watching this video. You can email me, text me, chat, do all the things. I love y'all. Toodles.